Good morning. Welcome to worship here at Kemeny Church. A warm welcome to all who are here in person, all who are watching live online and via our streaming service as well. Welcome to worship, everyone. I hear an echo. Excuse me. Just a couple informations at the start of our time. A reminder that on the 16th of February, we'll have our next meeting of Kirk Session, 7:30 p.m., and I believe it'll be scheduled in the Church Center. Is that right, Sheila? Yes. So the next meeting of Kirk Session is 16th February. This meeting will include an initial presentation of our church accounts as well in preparation for our to-be-scheduled AGM. So all available elders, please mark your diaries for the meeting of Kirk Session on the evening of 16th February. Another reminder as well that our social committee is looking for new members to join to help plan events for the life of our church. If you'd like to join the social committee, it's a warm and welcoming bunch. Please speak with Muriel Gratian for more information, seated back there. And also, coming up this Tuesday, the 7th of February, we have the next meeting of our Good Morning Group, which will be at 10 a.m. at the Kirk Center. Again, that's Tuesday, 7th of February, 10 a.m., the Kirk Center. And this will be a discussion about traditions. And everyone is welcome to join for this time of learning and fellowship together. Are there any more intimations at the start of our time today? Going once, twice. Let's take a moment then to quiet our minds and our hearts as we prepare now for worship. Friends, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it, and let us prepare to sing together now our first song of praise, Faithful One.
Faithful one, show one change in me. Let us come together in prayer. Let us pray. This week has been a week of contrasts, of strong winds on Tuesday, knocking the blue bins over and scattering rubbish everywhere. Then a calm, cloudless day. You provide such wonderful transformations for us to admire and give us the basis of many a conversation. In fact, the blackbirds have been heard having conversations, and some thrushes are starting to sing. Spring is round the corner. Thank you, Lord. It's also ploughing time again for our local farmers. Time to prepare the soil for the planting of grain, for growth to begin, and food to be harvested later on in the year. Time, too, for the tiny snowdrops to lift their white and green petticoats towards the apricitic sun, to act as the wakening bell to the colourful bluebells, crocuses, daffodils, and tulips, telling them that it's time to brighten up our world. Thank you, Lord. In America, Thursday, the 2nd of February, was Groundhog Day, when annually weather predictions are made on whether the resident groundhog displays a shadow. Depending on where you lived, the predictions this year have been, to say the least, varied. Should we believe these superstitions, Lord? February the 2nd was also Candlemas Day, when Jesus, Mary's firstborn son, was presented in the temple of Hypanti. That definitely was a special day to celebrate. Lord, we thank you for our families, our friends, and our community. We thank you for our freedom and space in which to develop our personalities and talents. Remind us of these good things in our lives when we falter and lose confidence. Help us to use our talents wisely, to consider others, and to stop and think before acting hurtfully so that each day is pleasing to you. We realize this week our words and actions may not have been exemplary. Please forgive us. Help us to be more prudent in our conversations with others, and help us to be more considerate, as every person is unique and special and should be treated with respect. May we feel your presence here today as we gather to praise you. Be with Joshua as he develops our understanding of Paul's letter to the Ephesians and its relevance in our lives. Lord, your love is our anchor, our rock, and your Son Jesus, our example. Thank you. May we continue to walk with you. Amen.
Thank you, Anne. Personally, I'm not sure how much I agree, how much trust we should put in the shadows of groundhogs. Though I will say the movie Groundhog's Day, I could watch it over and over and over. And, oh, wait. Anybody get the joke? Yes? Thank you. It's one of the classics. We're going to continue in worship with singing our children's song, and our children are getting ready, I think, for, it looks like, an explosive time at the church center today, continue to learn about the creation narrative, about the creation of the earth and the waters and whatnot. And I believe there's a very special activity that Sarah's already posted about on WhatsApp, so it should be great fun for all who are involved today. But today we continue to worship by singing, My God is So Big.
Oh, morning's reading is from Ephesians chapter 1, from verse 15 to verse 23. Paul says, "For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way." Amen.
Thank you, Jeff. We continue in worship now with singing our next hymn of praise, "Holy Spirit, Fill Our Hearts." Let us pray. Lord, in this time we do indeed pray that your Holy Spirit would fill our hearts. We pray in this time that you would open your word to us, that you would speak to us, make yourself known to us, open the eyes of our heart again to the good news of Jesus Christ. Use this time to draw us closer to you, making us more and more like Jesus Christ. And may the words of my mouth and may the meditations of our minds and our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight. Lord, you are the strength and the redemption of all who trust in you. Amen. So this week we're continuing with the series on Paul's letter to the Ephesians. Some years ago I had a teacher tell me that Ephesians is like the gospel in miniature. From the start of this series, we've heard how the overriding concern that Paul has in this letter is to remind all of us, what is really real. what in our lives really has substance, worth, eternal value. And throughout this letter, Paul is pointing us to what he knows this to be. He's pointing us to the really real reality. Yes, the really real reality of Jesus Christ. And this letter tells us that as Christians, nothing is more important than having a Christ-centered view of reality. No other foundation will suffice. In every day of our lives, we know there are so many things clamoring for our attention from the moment we wake up to the moment we go to bed. There are so many things, so many messages, so many ideologies trying to shape how we view ourselves, other people in the world. And Ephesians speaks into the chaos and busyness of our lives. It speaks into the quiet and the stillness of our lives as well. And it reminds us, no matter what we face, whether we're on a high or a low or somewhere in between, that we as believers, we must have a Christ-centered view of reality. In the words of Norman Mailer, he said, every moment of one's existence, one is growing into more or retreating into less. One is always living a little more or dying a little bit. Now, I think Paul would agree with this. In his teaching, he reminds us that the Holy Spirit is always at work in our lives as believers, helping us to reach full maturity in Jesus. And whether we realize it or not, whether we admit it or not, every day of our lives, one of two things is happening. We're either living into the Spirit and becoming more like Jesus, or we're denying the Spirit, becoming less like Jesus. Paul reminds us that in the Christian life, there's no such thing as neutral ground. There's no part of our lives that God does not touch, that God is not interested in. The Christian life is a holistic life. The Lordship of Jesus is a holistic claim on us. So we ask ourselves every day, are we becoming more or less like Jesus? Are we believing more or believing less? And Paul knows that the goal of the Christian life is to become like Jesus. And this brings us to today's passage from Ephesians that Jeff read for us a few moments ago. This passage starts in verse 15. This reason, Paul says, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, Paul says. And I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, you may know him better. I pray, he says, that the eyes of your heart may be opened and be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. So, fundamentally, what is this passage? What's Paul doing in this passage? It starts with a P and ends with rare. It's a what? It's a prayer. He's telling his fellow Christians in Ephesus exactly how he is praying for them. Right? That's pretty commonplace amongst Christians for us to say to each other, I'm praying for you. You're in my prayers. Who here's ever said such a thing? Who here's ever heard such a thing? Yeah? That's all fine and well. Nothing wrong with that at all. How often do we tell people specifically how we are praying for them? Yeah, right? In this passage, what do we have? We have a very specific way that Paul is praying for the believers in Ephesus, and by extension for us as well. And in the New Testament, apart from Jesus himself, nobody prays like the Apostle Paul. Nobody prays with the same gospel-centered passion as the Apostle Paul. Look at it again. Let's unpack it. He says, I keep asking that you may be given the spirit of wisdom and revelation. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, that you may know the hope to which he has called you. Paul prayed these things for the early Christians, and his prayers are for us as well. And one of the most amazing things about these prayers is that these prayers of Paul, we were born in less than ideal circumstances. We mentioned this before, but anybody remember, where was Paul when he dictated this letter to the Ephesians? Anybody remember? He was in jail, right? He wasn't in a seaside villa. He wasn't kicking back, relaxing, enjoying himself. He was in prison. And suffice it to say that in the time of Paul, prisons were far less humane than they are now. We might assume that most people imprisoned in such a state would not be able to see beyond their own circumstances, and any prayers that they did pray would be focused on their own problems and trials. Get me out of here. Help me make it through one more day, and other prayers like this. Now, lest we put him on too high of a pedestal, we know that Paul was a human being just like us, and I think it's quite likely he had his fair share of the why me prayers. We all do it when we face hard times, don't we? But Ephesians makes it clear that this was not the totality of Paul's prayer life. In his life and ministry, Paul was so gospel-centered that his own circumstances, his own location, his own limitations became almost immaterial. And looking more closely at this prayer in this passage, what do we see? We also see a change in how Paul understands God. As we know from his life, Paul was raised a devout Jew. And as a devout Jew, he was used to praying to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, right? Yeah? This is how a devout Jew still prays today. There's nothing wrong with that. But after his dramatic conversion on the Damascus Road, recorded for us in Acts chapter 9, if you've never read Acts chapter 9, you should read it. It's one of the most stunning passages in all of Scripture. Paul encountered the risen Christ on the Damascus Road, and he was forced to reconsider his whole understanding of God. For Paul, God was still the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, but even more, God was also the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ. To put it in stronger terms, in that moment on Damascus Road, Paul understood that when we really encounter Jesus in our lives, we are encountering God. And everything that the Old Testament says about God is true. Amen. But now in Jesus, Paul understood, we have the full and complete picture of who God is. And so in this letter to the Ephesians, Paul's deepest yearning is for those who hear and read his words to have the same kind of transforming experience that he had when he first met Jesus. He wanted every life to be changed and transformed. He wants our lives to be changed and transformed in ways we can hardly imagine. He wants us to be utterly transformed, consumed, and remotivated and living for the gospel. That's the kind of life that God wants for each of us. But to be utterly transformed by the gospel, Paul's prayer in this first part of Ephesians makes it clear that two things have to happen first. And Paul, we've heard, prays for both things. First, God has to open up to us. God has to open up to us. In verse 17, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. May give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation. Friends, the Christian life is not something we undertake by our own efforts. We don't wake up one day and just think, hey, today I think I'm going to become a Christian. I'm going to start following Jesus today. How many of you woke up this morning and decided to come to church? How many of you decided to come to church today? Should be an obvious question, right? Yeah. What if I were to suggest to you that even the desire to come to church is the act of the Holy Spirit in your life? What if the calling and the draw of God is so first and so fundamental that even the decision to be here today is first God opening up to us, drawing us to him, drawing us to know more about Jesus? The Christian life starts with God reaching into our lives, drawing us to him. It starts with the Holy Spirit awakening faith in us. This is made clear for us in John 6 when Jesus says, "No one can come to me," he says, "unless the Father who sent me draws him." Right? And the giving of this spirit of wisdom and revelation is not just a one-time thing, nor is the drawing of the Father described by Jesus, this drawing to God. In every moment of life, we're utterly dependent on God drawing us to him. Every hour, every day, every minute, every breath, every heartbeat, we need Jesus to draw us to the Father. We are never not in need of this help. That's the first thing. So God opens himself up to us. Second, God has to open us to him. That's the second part. Again, from Paul's prayer, "May you have the eyes of your heart enlightened," he prays, "that you may know what is the hope to which he has called you. What are the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints? What is the immeasurable greatness of his power toward us who believe?" So God has to open up to us. God opens us up to him. Now, if you're sitting there thinking, sounds like God is doing a lot of the heavy lifting here. Does it sound like that? Good. You're right. From start to finish, the Christian life is about God, about God's saving action in our lives. God opens up to us and opens us up to him. This is a double heaping of grace. It's the essence of Christian salvation. All we have to do is respond in faith to what God is already doing for us. And if you find yourself sitting today doubting that God is opening to us, if you're struggling to believe that God is opening us up to him, Paul closes his prayer with a powerful reminder today. He says that power that's at work in the opening of our minds and our hearts, that power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Jesus from the dead and seated him above all authorities, all rulers, all powers, all dominions, placing him as the head over everything, Paul says. In other words, Paul's prayer for us as believers is grounded in the reality of Jesus raised from the dead. Paul's prayer is based on what God has already done. Is Jesus risen? I can't hear you. Yes, risen indeed. We'll say that in Easter time. We believe and trust that Jesus is risen, that God's great work of salvation has already begun. We believe that Jesus is forever victorious over the grave, and that same divine power that raised Jesus is now at work in our lives as well. God's saving action in our lives is just as sure, just as certain, just as powerful as Jesus' victory over the grave. And that, I think, is why Paul could be in a rotten jail cell and still believe, and still worship, and still pray with such an open and joyful heart. Paul's reminding us in this passage that what God has started, God will finish. And as believers, we'll certainly face many challenges in our lives, many pressures, many uncertainties, many things that threaten to knock us for a loop, that threaten to knock us off course, to fill us with doubts and with fear. We'll face many things that try to dissuade us from the truth of the gospel. But in today's passage, we have what I'm calling Paul's powerful prayer. Don't you love alliteration? Paul's powerful prayer. And Paul's powerful prayer, it keeps us grounded in the really real reality of Jesus. It reminds us, even now, this very moment, this very breath you just took, God is at work in each of our lives. What God has started, God will finish. So every day, let's follow Paul's example of gospel-shaped praying. Let our lives be shaped by this. Let us take time to make Paul's prayer our own. Every day, let's pray. Father, we praise you that by your power, Jesus is risen. Reveal yourself now. Father, we believe that your power is at work in us. Open us to your love. Holy Spirit, hear us when we pray and make us followers of Jesus, more like him. Amen. This is gospel-shaped praying. And it needs to be at the very foundation of our lives. So as we go into another week, let's take time to pray with Paul. Let's take time to make his prayer into our prayer. Let's take time for gospel-shaped praying. We can't afford to do without it. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for your presence with us today. We thank you for these prayers of Paul, which draw us again and again back to the really real reality of Jesus Christ. As we continue in worship, Lord Jesus, we pray that your Holy Spirit would fall afresh upon each of our lives. We pray that in this time you would surprise us afresh with your love, that you would speak into every corner of our lives, that your light would come to our darkest places, that your love would change and transform us so we may follow you fully as your disciples in this world. May we be emboldened by these words from Ephesians. Lord, may Paul's prayer, his gospel-shaped prayer, may become ours as well, today and every day. In Jesus' name we pray, and all of God's children say together, Amen. We continue now in worship with singing our next hymn of praise. Jesus calls us here to meet him. Friends, here in Kemeny Church, all who wish to partake in communion are welcome to do so. There is room at the table for all who desire to love and to follow Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives. In our church family, we take communion by first passing out the bread. We hold it until all are served, and then we take it together. In a similar fashion, we then distribute the cup. We hold it until all who are served, and then we take it together as a sign of our unity in Jesus Christ. In the bread and the cup, these signs of the sacrament, they are anchor points for our lives as Christians. Time and again, we gather at this table to remember Jesus Christ, to give thanks for his saving death and resurrection. In this time, we remember that the life, teachings, death, and resurrection of Jesus are the greatest sign we have of God's unfailing faithfulness to us and to all who believe and trust in his name. So as we gather around this table today, we remember the church around the world. We pray for all of our brothers and sisters who are undergoing hardship and trial on account of their faith. We pray for a true sense of unity with each other wherever we may be. And we pray that partaking of this sacrament today may inspire us anew to live out our faith in the midst of a broken and hurting world, that we may do what we can, that we may give of what we have so that others will come to know and trust the goodness and love of God in their own lives. So now I invite us to join together with a responsive call to the table. Come to this table, not because we must, but because we may. Not because we are strong, but because we are weak. Come not because any goodness of our own gives us the right, but because we need mercy and help. Come because we love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loves us and gave himself for us. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you our thanks and our praise for the privilege of gathering together for worship, for the privilege of gathering around this table as brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. We each come here, Lord, from our own lives. We each bring our own hopes, our own joys, our own sorrows, our own brokenness. However we come here, Lord, help us to hear a word of healing and welcome from you. Help us to remember that when we place faith and trust in you, when we repent and turn away from darkness and sin, you are always ready to restore us to right relationship with the Father. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for your unfailing love and grace, for all the ways you are so constantly present with each of us in every day of our lives. Give us eyes to see, ears to hear, and hearts to believe that you are always with us. And in that spirit of faith, we now join together praying the words that you taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Hear now the words of institution faithfully recorded for us by Paul the Apostle in his first letter to the Corinthians, when he said, For I received from the Lord Jesus what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it. And he said, This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, the Lord Jesus also took the cup and said, This cup is the new covenant sealed in my blood. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of this bread, as often as you partake of this cup, you do proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. And in response to Christ's saving actions for us, we do declare together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. My friends, brothers and sisters, these are the gifts of God for the people of God. Come, taste and see that the Lord is indeed good. This is the body of Christ, which is broken for us. Take and eat in remembrance of Jesus.
Thank you.
This cup is the new covenant sealed in the blood of Jesus Christ. It has been shed that the sins of a limitless many might be forgiven. Drink from it, all. And may the peace of Jesus, the peace that surpasses all understanding, may it guard our hearts and our minds in Him. Let us share this peace with each other now. Continue in worship now with singing our next hymn of praise, In Heavenly Love Abiding. Let us pray. Loving God, this week has seen a lot of unrest. Lord, you know that in this time, millions of people have faced disruption, either through being on strike or as a consequence of the strikes. We confess it can feel very unsettling and difficult. It can make life feel very uncertain for all those caught up in this industrial action. In this time, Lord, We pray for calm resolution, for fair and just settlements. We pray for genuine engagement for all sides in negotiations. And we pray for people to listen and to find empathy with and for each other. Loving God, in this time, bring your hope and your light. Loving Heavenly Father, 3 years on now from Brexit, and we're still aware of the vast gulfs, differences of opinion between the sides of the debate. Lord, we're keenly aware that there are vastly different opinions held about what has taken place. And we are mindful that people across this country, their experiences since Brexit have been wildly different. We confess, Lord, that sometimes it's hard to engage with those who see the world different from us. But we pray in this time that as your people, we would seek to be those who bring reconciliation, healing, and understanding, to show love and support where needed, and true, genuine kindness to others, especially when they may hold views very different to ours. As we continue in our civic duty of discussing and debating the best way forward for our country, help us to be mindful of the greater reality of your love, and to view everyone we encounter and discuss issues with as a child of God, precious in your sight. Loving God, bring your hope and light into this world. Loving God, as in this month, as half terms begin around the country at different times this month for many children and young people, we pray keenly for the safety and well-being of our children. We confess there are so many things that we are concerned about that children have to face in 2023 that those of us who are older did not have to face. We confess our concern about the ease of access of brutal and pornographic content on the internet, the difficulties, depression, and anxiety associated with social media, and the lack of ability to access professional services, help, and support. Help us in this community as your church to come alongside our young people, to be present with those in the schools through prayer and through presence to support our children, our students, our teachers, and our staff, knowing that they are the bedrock of our community's future. We pray as well earnestly, Lord, that you would make yourself known to our children and our young people, guiding them to a life of faith in Jesus Christ. In all ways, in all things, help our children and young people to know what is good and pure and true and right, and to turn towards your love in every way. Loving God, bring your hope and light to our children. Loving Father, we pray for our community of Kemeny and for all of our sister communities in our grouping of Benihi Parish Churches together. We pray for all people we encounter in our villages. We pray for colleagues, friends, neighbors, and for our adversaries. We pray for those who are suffering. We pray for those who are well. We pray now for those who are finding the cost of living exceedingly hard to bear. We pray for those in our community, in our country, in our world, who are given the mantle of leadership. We pray for our Prime Minister, for his cabinet, for our First Minister and her cabinet. We pray that you would give them your wisdom and your discernment in the decisions that they make, knowing that they are charged with the safety of us all. for our leaders and our communities, Lord. We pray that you will bring your hope and light to them all. And in the next few moments of silence, Lord, we lift up all of the unspoken concerns upon our minds and our hearts, knowing full well that whether spoken or unspoken, you hear them all. Loving God, hear us when we pray. We bind up all of our prayers in the strong and sure name of Jesus, trusting you, Lord, in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We now sing our closing song of praise, Be Thou My Vision. Go into another week, may our lives be saturated with gospel-shaped praying. And in doing so, may God keep us grounded in the really real reality of Jesus Christ and his love. Go forth from this place and share this love of Jesus with others in thought, in word, and in deed. And may the blessing of Almighty God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, may this blessing be upon each of us and upon all who we know, this day and forevermore.